Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service for public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on caffeine when we come back. You know, the genocidal policy of Global 2000 and the New World Order are the greatest threats to our lives, our liberties, and our property since Noah's flood. And that's not just my opinion. You know, Jesus of Nazareth held that same view when he said in Matthew 24, verse 22, that except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. Well, there are 64 of these life-threatening problems described in the scripture, detailing this New World Order and their Global 2000 genocide agenda. And the scripture teaches preparation for this great tribulation, not just apathy and indifference. That's why I contend that it's time that you and I wise up and start listening more to the God of Israel and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians. And let's prepare to live through and survive this global 2000 New World Order nightmare. Why don't you call and ask for our free General Law CD package? You know, that's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. And I contend that that's the place to start with a program that makes sense as to how you and I can defend ourselves against the government and government intrusion into our lives. The number to call here is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Our subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and then send us an email request for that free General Law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. All right, we're talking about caffeine. Caffeine is a drug, and it's a very addictive drug, just like nicotine and alcohol. And like nicotine and alcohol, it's being promoted by commercial interests for the express purpose of making profit and gain. Makes all the sense in the world. I don't blame them for wanting to make his money. But it's being promoted to an extreme, and it's being put into a lot of products that most people don't consider. For instance, it's put into all of the soda pop, well, nearly all of them. Some of the soda pop actually has some double, or like Jolt, double the caffeine and double the sugar they advertise. In order to get this caffeine to put into the soda pop, they have to decaffeinate coffee in order to get this drug so that they can put it into the cookies, drugs, soda pop, and other popular items, candy bars and so on, that you and I buy. So you can rest assured that you're never going to suffer from a caffeine deficiency. You're going to be ingesting caffeine whether you like it or not in the foods that you eat. Now, if on top of that you're out here drinking coffee, you know, 6, 8, 10, 12 cups of coffee a day, you're probably one of those people that is taking in, or you're overdosing on this drug called caffeine. Now, a little bit can be good, a whole lot can be bad. It just depends upon your body metabolism and how your body handles it. Some people handle caffeine a lot better than others. So, I'm not a purist. I'm not suggesting that you give up on caffeine. I think caffeine's probably pretty good. You got to use it every once in a while to celebrate. The question arises, well, how much caffeine should you be ingesting? And I would say that about the same amount as sex. So if you know you're having sex with your wife twice a week, you should have 2 cups of coffee a week to celebrate, would be my recommendation. 3 times 3 cups, 4 times 4 cups, once a month 1 cup, you know, just kind of gauge it along that line over there. And I think that your sex life is going to pick up, and then as your sex life picks up, you can drink more coffee. Now, I mentioned that to you the last time. I'm going to mention it to you one more time. In the context of disease, men's health, you know, earlier in this chapter, I presented a discussion of cardiovascular disease, by far the most significant health risk for men related to caffeine. But as male body boomers, or baby boomers, right, reach their fifth decade of life, prostate health becomes a more and more pressing issue. Now, the most common symptom of prostate dysfunction is abnormal growth of the prostate, which then presses upon the urethra and causes problems with urination. Men with enlarged prostates, known as benign prostate hypertrophy, or BPH, have trouble voiding their bladder, so pressure builds up and is difficult to release. Adding to the discomfort, this pressure also causes frequent awakenings to urinate during the night. Most importantly, BPH is a risk factor for prostate cancer, and it's the second leading cause of cancer death in men. Pause right here. There's an ad. It's on the Katie Kirk NewsHour. And if you're not having fun and you constantly have to go urinate, you know, and stop, you know, you're playing golf, you're out on the links, and you got to rush into the clubhouse and go urinate. And so then you come back out, and they got a drug for that. I don't know what it is, you know, but you go to your doctor, and you got this frequent urination syndrome, and so you take this drug. And what's causing this is the caffeine. Now, you got a choice here. You can drink the caffeine. You can develop the prostate, enlarged prostate, which then could lead to cancer or something else. Now, I mentioned to you last time that caffeine doesn't cause, or there's no direct cause with cancer, and I want to stick by that, but there's a mention of it. It may cause an enlarged prostate, then the enlarged prostate may turn to cancer. But they're not connecting caffeine directly to cancer, although they're connecting caffeine directly to coronary disease, glaucoma, and various other symptoms, of which there's about 20. So I picked off about 20 here, and I won't have time to cover them all, but I'm going to cover some of these leading ones, and this prostate over here, and erectile dysfunction. I told you last time, I think about this. You go to your doctor, and you say, Doc, I can't get it up. And the doctor says, oh, well, we've got Viagra. And ask yourself this. If you were a doctor, and some guy comes into you, and he says, hey, listen, I'm having a little problem here, and you got a choice. You can say, now, look, Bob, if you'd quit drinking so much coffee, because this coffee restricts your blood flow by a third, you'd have more blood flow, and you'd find that your erectile dysfunction will just disappear because you got enough blood. Now, did you want to tell some guy to quit drinking coffee, or did you want to sell him a prescription? No, nothing personal here, but you know, as a businessman, I'd say, well, shucks. This guy's got a problem, and Viagra is designed to fix that problem. So the Viagra is probably about the same. I don't know what they put in Viagra, some kind of chemical, I imagine. But, you know, you could do the same thing with cayenne pepper. Cayenne pepper will expand your blood vessels. Did you know that? So, I mean, if I was having blood circulation problems, and this is what you know, the naturopaths recommend when you're having a heart attack, give the victim cayenne pepper. And so I do that. I have some cayenne pepper in some capsules, you know, and so I suck down two or three of those cayenne capsules, and that expands my blood vessels. I don't take Viagra. I'm an old man, and I don't need Viagra. Can you believe it? But, you know, you got to have adequate blood circulation, fellas, and that's what the bottom line is. And caffeine constricts the blood circulation, and the cayenne pepper expands it, and I imagine that's what Viagra does. Now, it could well be that Viagra is nothing more than cayenne pepper. And they're selling it to you at an inflated price. I don't know that positively, but I'm just suggesting to you that there's other thingies out there, and all we're dealing with here is cause and effect. I mean, we're not talking rocket science here. You don't have to be real smart. I don't think you have to have an IQ much above 80, 85 or so to figure this out. Now, what you need is more blood flow through your body. And you get more blood flow through your body if you don't constrict the veins and arteries that are producing it, that are carrying it. All right, so now going on, we're talking about male reproductive health here. As men age, the incidence of prostate infection and inflammation, called prostatitis, also increases. And all of these maladies are treated with drugs. Some work by inhibiting the metabolism of testosterone. Some actually reduce testosterone production, and others fight underlying infection. Still, drug treatments of BPH, prostatitis, and prostate cancer are not what you would call remarkably successful. Surgery is being used more and more, and even the newest antibiotics often fail to eradicate prostate infections. Moreover, surgery and drug therapies often have adverse side effects, including decreased libido and impotence. Did you get that? Let's underline that one. Decreased libido. Now, for you truckers out there, that means you can't get it up. And impotence. So thus, any man over 40 is like to have a very uneasy feeling about his future health and sexuality. By age 70, more than 50% will have enlarged prostates. By age 70, 50%, that's half of us. You know, look around the room. You know, there's you and Bill. Okay, well, it's either you or Bill by age 70 are going to have this enlarged prostate. And by age 80, the number goes up to 80%. And here's the good news. Men can significantly reduce their risk for urinary and prostate problems by getting off coffee and caffeine. Now, I'm going to underline coffee and caffeine, because if you're going to get off of caffeine, you got to get off soda pop at the same time. So, you know, your big sources now are soda pop and coffee. Now, once you get off of those, there's certain drugs over here, you know, that have a lot of caffeine in them. Now, if you get off drugs, now, about 80% of Americans are on one prescription drug, and when you get to be 65, it's six or more. And I don't know how many women, but, you know, all of you young women, you know, that are healthy, you're on the pill. That's a drug. Prescription drug. I think if you'd stop and think about it, America's turned into a nation of drug addicts. Caffeine is a drug. We take our drugs in a number of different ways. We can take it through Coca-Cola, we can take it through MJB or Folgers, or we can take it through Anacin or Dristan, or we can take it, you know, in a number of different ways. And God, we love our drugs here in the States. And we've turned into a nation of drug addicts, and we've turned into a nation of hypochondriacs. I mean, people today are just sick. They're sick of everything. And about half their symptoms over here are caused by what they eat. They're really not sick. They're consuming too much alcohol. They're consuming too much fat. They're consuming too much nicotine, you know, too much caffeine. And they're developing symptoms over here. So, not that they're really sick. I mean, it's a big difference between having cancer or a coronary disease, enlarged heart or something, and then causing yourself to have symptoms by taking too much of this or that drug over here. Caffeine, in reality, is a it causes a side effect. These symptoms are the side effect of excessive drug overload. All drugs have side effects. Caffeine has side effects. And one of the side effects over here is decreased libido, as they call it here in the scientific literature. So you got to get off of the coffee and the caffeine. Well, at least you got to get off of the excessive use of it. And of course, you know, that's a subjective term, you know. Well, how much is too much? So I just told you. I said, you know, if you're having sex three times a week, then three cups of coffee is just about the right amount. A little celebration each time. And that's about where I'm at. You know, I drink just about that much coffee, and I'm not having any of the symptoms. I took the test over here. I have none of the caffeine symptoms. And you need to take this book and get the caffeine symptoms down. Now, this book is called Caffeine Blues, C-A-F-F-E-I-N-E, Caffeine Blues, B-L-U-E-S, written by a guy named Stephen Chernisky, M.S. I don't know what an M.S. is, but he's important. And he's got to be smart because he's got letters after his name. His name is Stephen Chernisky, C-H-E-R-N-I-S-K-E. And I think you get it through Warner Books. It is right here, Warner Books, New York and Boston. Shucks, if you can't get this from Barnes & Noble, you know they're not doing their job. So just walk in there, you know, say, give me a copy of this book. I can't imagine it costing you more than $20. It's 450 pages, pretty good sized book. Neatly written, footnoted up the yin-yang. I mean, you'll get tired of all these notes. In fact, you won't even read them all. After you read four or five of them, you'll say, oh, shucks, this guy's probably got this about down pat. And it's written in little short subtitles. And I'm just reading one of the short subtitles over here called Issues of Male Reproductive Health. And there's several of them. Decreased libido, prostate problems. You know, just a couple. He knows four or five of these little problems you have. And they trace them through these various studies back to caffeine, that's all. And so the manufacturers of coffee, you know, they're giving you their spin. Their spin is, well, you know, drink it in moderation. So they say, well, moderation is by the cup, and a cup is 6 ounces. And I come along and I say, well, that's a damn lie. As old Mark Twain used to say, got liars, damn liars, and statisticians. Well, these merchants over here are selling coffee. So they have this ridiculously low threshold of 6 ounces. Nobody drinks 6 ounces of coffee. That isn't in the lexicon or the vocabulary. So, again, how much is too much? Well, let me tell you again. If you're drinking a cup of coffee every time you have sex with your wife, did you get that, boys? With the wife, not Flo. And then drink a cup of coffee. I think that's a pretty good guide. That's the guide I'm using, and by golly, I'm not having any problems. Now, let's take one more. Milton Kristoloff, M.D., he's a urologist in Santa Monica, California. He was one of the first to notice that dietary modification, including the elimination of all sources of caffeine, actually resolved prostatitis in the large majority of his patients. And then, to give you an illustration, there's a number here, number 216. That's footnote number 216. You go look that study up, you know, if you want to. If you think that I'm lying to you, why don't you go look that up, and then there's a number right there with it. And then you can go take a look at the study, and then you can get a copy of the study and read it for yourself. How's that? And that's just number 216, and that's just in this chapter. I mean, every chapter's got, you know, 100, 200 footnotes in here of studies that have been done to demonstrate that statement. Now, in addition, he has clinical evidence that his simple program, it's called the Kristoloff Diet, results in decreased PSA scores for many men. High PSA, that's prostate-specific antigen, is an indication of increased risk of prostate cancer. Work by other investigators identifying an association between caffeine and urinary problems in men supports these clinical observations. And recently, prostate cancer risk was found to be directly linked to the intake of theobromine, which is a methylxanthine, if that's the way to pronounce it, methylxanthine related to caffeine. In that study, men who consumed high levels of theobromine, commonly found in chocolate, had more than twice the risk of prostate cancer compared to men who consumed very little of that substance. I'm going to put a bracket right here, and let me caution you. See, you're sitting there saying, well, I don't drink very much coffee. All right, now pay attention, boys and girls. Let me explain this to you one more time. You don't ever have to drink a cup of coffee to get drugged out on caffeine. There's caffeine in everything that you're eating. If you'll look at the ingredients on various products over here, you'll see it. Now, soda pop is probably the number one critter over here that you're getting it from if you don't drink coffee. And then number two, it's going to be drugs, and then number three, it's going to be chocolate. Now, we all like chocolate, and I've often said, you know, you can never have too much chocolate. And then there's drugs. Now, most Americans are drug addicts. I mean, hell, if you're on the pill, you're on caffeine. If you're on Anacin, you're on caffeine. There's a list of drugs over here that I cited to you the other day. I'll just repeat myself. Stand by here, page 34, 35. Here it is. Anacin, Dristan, Dexatrin, Excedrin, Midol, No-Dose, Viverin, and Vanquish. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 over-the-counter drugs. And two of them, Viverin and Dexatrin, have more caffeine per tablet than a 6-ounce cup of coffee, which has 100 milligrams. So you can rest assured that you're not going to suffer from a caffeine deficiency, not in America. There are no caffeine deficiencies in this country. You may have an iron deficiency, or you may have an iodine deficiency, but there are no Americans with a caffeine deficiency in the United States. By now, most everyone knows that sperm counts among men in Western nations are declining, and the rate of decline is fairly alarming. A likely explanation for this is the increasing exposure to pesticides and environmental pollutants, many of which are powerfully toxic to the reproductive organs of men and women. As I have mentioned, coffee is the most heavily sprayed of all consumable commodities, but residues in the final roasted product are reported to be quite low. Still, coffee and caffeine have to be considered in any discussion of reproductive health for three reasons. Okay, so if you're concerned about sperm count, you don't need to worry about caffeine, or excuse me, you don't need to worry about the chemicals on the coffee. But you do need to worry about the caffeine for three reasons, and now he's going to outline those. He says, beyond the directly toxic effects, pesticides, fungicides, and herbicides can have cumulative effects on human health by altering hormone levels and hormone receptor sites in the body. These endocrine modulating effects can be virtually invisible for decades, producing symptoms only after many years of exposure. Thus, short-term research will miss important long-term causative factors. Two, clearly negative health consequences to animals are produced when they are fed caffeine, and the ill effects are almost always centered on the nervous and reproductive systems. Rats fed caffeine suffer from testicular atrophy and low sperm counts as a result. Let me pause right here. Somebody's going to say, well, you know, rats and humans aren't the same. Excuse me, kids. Excuse me. Let's test it. You take a rat and you feed him some arsenic and watch him. I think he'll turn over and turn tits up and die. And when he does, let us ask the question, well, do you think that if you took the same amount of arsenic and put it into your body that you would die? Probably not. Because the rat, you know, he only weighs a pound, and you weigh 200 pounds. So the amount of arsenic that it's going to take to kill that rat would probably take 200 times as much to kill you. But boys and girls, arsenic is a terrible, toxic poison, and it kills, okay? And if arsenic kills rats, it'll probably kill people. Now, if you take caffeine and you feed that to rats, and it causes reproductive deficiencies in rats, you can damn well bet that it's probably going to do the same thing in you. If it doesn't, it would be a miracle. And so if you want to take the chance, you know, get after it. I hear that quite often, you know. People say, well, just because it does it in rats doesn't mean that it's going to do it in people. Well, I wouldn't bet on that. You know, I don't think I'd bet on that. If I was sitting there at the crap table, you know, I was watching some guy throwing the dice over there, and he threw seven straight passes, I wouldn't bet that the next guy's going to throw seven straight passes. Now, you know, you can choose for yourself, you know, as to how you want to play the crap table, but my experience has been, you know, you just watch what's going on around you. If you see that that's what happens to the rats over here, you know, I'd be real suspicious real fast that that's probably what's going to happen to you or what's going to happen to me. So he goes on, he says, now this is still number two now. As men age, the incidence of prostate infection and inflammation called prostatitis also increases. All of these maladies are treated with drugs. Some drugs work by inhibiting the metabolism of testosterone. Some actually reduce testosterone production, and others fight underlying infection. Still, drug treatments of BPH, prostatitis, and prostate cancer are not what you would call remarkably successful. And that's because surgery is being used more and more, and even the newest antibiotics often fail to eradicate prostate infections. Now, I know that you cannot equate rabbits and rats to human beings, but animal studies do have relevance, especially when you consider that human beings with agricultural exposure to pesticides exhibit precisely the same constellation of symptoms. And here's one more extremely intriguing observation. Men with agricultural exposure to pesticides who father children have an astronomical prevalence of female offspring, 83.4% versus the normal of 48%. And the same thing happens when male rodents are fed caffeine. All right, now let's pause here for a second. You know, people, you know, they say, well, I'd like to have a boy baby, you know, this time around. All right. Did you catch that? Men with agricultural exposure to pesticides who father children have an astronomical prevalence of female offspring. It's 83.4%. Now, it should be down around 50-50, shouldn't it? You know, all things being equal. Now, have you ever noticed that sometimes you'll see some guy over here and maybe he's got, my wife's daddy. He worked for the railroad. And he had five girls and one boy. He had six children and five girls and one boy. And he drank a lot of coffee. He was a railroad worker. He just like a truck driver, drank a lot of coffee. Now take a look at how his offspring came out. Well, he had five girls and one boy. And they've tested rats like that. Now you take a look at people. You know, hey, look, guys, if you got three girls and you'd like to start having some boys, you got to get off the coffee. Got that? Because you're going to turn out an abnormal number of females. And there's a study here, a study. And it's number 227. 226, 225, and 224. So you take 224, 25, 26, and 27, four separate studies, and you look that up in the footnotes, and you go back to those studies and find that out. Isn't that just real special for all of you guys that have all these girls out here, and you're wondering why? And there's one more here. There's a wide range, number three, of human subjects, and has been studied to evaluate sperm counts and sperm motility, whatever M-O-T-I-L-I-T-Y means. I don't know what that is, but it's something. And whether you're looking at men facing final exams, running a race, or simply experiencing the stress of fertility testing, anxiety has a profound effect on sperm quality. Motility, normal movement. Oh, okay. Now, you know, this is a doctor here. Now, he uses the word motility, and then he puts in parenthesis normal movement. See, us truck drivers out here, see, we didn't know what the hell motility was to start with. Now we know it's the normal movement of the sperm and sperm counts and sperm morphology. Oh, here in parenthesis says size and shape. Okay, so the sperm movement and size and shape all suffer when men are stressed. And as we have well established, one of the most reliable anxiety-producing influences in a man's life is caffeine. 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 Got that? Hey, the one that really blew me away over here, I'm going to read it to you again. Men with agricultural exposure to pesticides who father children have an astronomical prevalence of female offspring, 83.4% versus the normal 48%. All right. Got that statement? Now you're sitting there saying, yeah, but I'm a mechanic and I work as Mr. Goodrich. All right. Listen to the last sentence. The same thing happens when male rodents are fed caffeine. You got that? Same thing happens with caffeine. All right. Now you know. You want to have 83% females drink more coffee. Hey, you know, if you've got five boys and you're looking for a girl, start feeding your old man more coffee, more caffeine, girls. It'll raise your chances of having a female baby. And you heard it first right here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. I'll give you something to talk about over coffee and down there at the coffee clatch next time you're down there. Hey, listen, we're at the halfway point. I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches eight schools: family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults in compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and can be accessed through the webpage as well. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. And the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend will reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. Remember, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers and sponsors or the management or the staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. Talking about Caffeine Blues, let me remind you that you can get a copy of this 450-page Caffeine Blues, Wake Up to the Hidden Dangers of America's Number One Drug, Caffeine. That's the number one drug consumed in America. It's written by Stephen Cherniske, C-H-E-R-N-I-S-K-E, Stephen, spelled S-T-E-P-H-E-N, not to be confused with Stephen, and this is Stephen, P-H-I-E-N, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Cherniske, and it's published by Warner Books, Caffeine Blues. Oh, I would imagine Barnes & Noble and about $20. It's a paperback book, at least the copy I've got is paperback. Well, now, we all want a healthy sex life for as long as possible. Men are often seen as being less willing than women to alter dietary habits and incorporate new healthy lifestyle habits. But if something simple like reducing caffeine consumption can keep us sexually vital and healthy, most men would choose to alter their diet any day over the pain of disease and the possible adverse effects of medical intervention. I might point out here that Viagra has been linked to blindness. Did you know that? I saw a report here the other day that Viagra, that didn't happen too often, but you know, 1 in 100, 1 or 2%. Which is totally unacceptable to me. I don't want to take a 1 or 2% risk. But they're developing blindness. Now remember that Viagra is simply counteracting the effects of the caffeine when it restricts your blood flow. If you're having erectile dysfunction, you don't have enough blood in your penis. And so the drug companies come along and say, hey, we got this problem over here. How can we get more blood into this guy's penis? And the answer is, well, we got to dilate the blood vessels. How do we do that? Well, we're going to give this guy some kind of a drug that will accomplish that goal. So I mentioned to you that the cayenne pepper does the same thing. So I don't know what's in Viagra, but it has a side effect, and one of the side effects over here is blindness. So if you want to go blind, you know, Viagra is probably one of the vehicles that you could utilize. Now the problem is, going back here now to men's reproductive health, the problem is that men often fail to recognize approaching danger until obvious symptoms send them to their doctor. Now, doctors are more likely to write a prescription than to provide dietary advice, so the issue becomes one of developing an increased sensitivity to the changes that occur in our bodies as we age, including the urinary pressure and delay that signals early prostate problems. And clearly, caffeine affects women's reproductive capabilities, and we know that caffeine produces stress that can affect male sperm quality. And if you're a prospective father, it certainly seems prudent to err on the side of caution and join your wife in eliminating caffeine from your diet. Now, I'm going to underline eliminating caffeine from your diet. That's the author speaking. I don't subscribe to that. I didn't, and I am not going to eliminate caffeine from my diet. And otherwise, I might end up with a caffeine deficiency. Oh, my God, we wouldn't want that to happen now, would we? So you're going to get plenty of caffeine from your candy bars and soda pops and cookies and one thing and another. So you don't need to run out here and tank up on a lot of coffee now, fearing that you're going to come down with some horrible disease caused by caffeine deficiency. That isn't going to happen, boys. So sit back and relax. And if you'll concentrate on, remember my formula here, you have one cup of coffee every time you have sex with your wife. Always remember, with your wife, one cup of coffee each time. And you will not overdose on caffeine. Take it from me. Gout. G-O-U-T. He says, gout is a painful condition considered a type of arthritis, and it results from the deposition of uric acid crystals in cartilage, the bones of the foot and kidneys. Now, for unknown reasons, gout is primarily a male disorder, with only about 5% of patients being women. Now, I'm gonna pause right here and make an observation. He's got a chapter in here on women. He's got a chapter on men and a chapter on women. This caffeine affects men and women differently. It affects them differently. And there's a whole list of diseases or maladies that females develop from excessive caffeine intake that men do not suffer from. And then there's a whole list of maladies over here that men suffer from that women don't have any problems with whatsoever. So I wanted to point that out to you. The book itself is big and thick, and it's a reference book is what it really boils down to. So if you're looking at gout and you want to know something about gout, just look it up in the index. It's on page 219. I had that one time. It wasn't caused by caffeine, by the way. It's caused by protein. Now, there are a number of causes for gout, mostly related to defects in uric acid metabolism. And these defects appear to be primarily genetic. As is almost always the case, however, heredity only predisposes one to the condition. Dietary and environmental factors play an important role. Diets high in sugar and protein have been shown to elevate uric acid levels, as can caffeine. Okay, now notice the gout is caused by elevated uric acid levels. If you want to test this, I've tested it, so I'll describe it. You go out and you kill a cow, and you start eating meat off this cow. First thing, there's 24 steaks on it, so we got to have steak every night, don't we? So you start to eat all the steak off this cow. Now, this meat, this excessive protein that you're eating, causes these uric acid crystals. They deposit in your heel. Mine was in the heel of my foot. As these uric acid crystals build up, as you're walking around, it causes pain. That's just the long and short of it. And so the solution to that is to cut out the protein, cut out the meat. And so when I stopped eating meat, that's what caused mine. So I developed gout, and my wife, she said, "Hey, you got gout." And I said, "No, I didn't." I jumped off the back of the dump truck, and that's what did it. Broke my foot, that's what it did. So I went in, and I had an x-ray, and the doctor, you know what he did? He prescribed pills, Mark. He couldn't figure it out. I said, "Is that foot broken?" He said, "No." I said, "Is it sprained?" He said, "No." I said, "Do you know what's wrong with it?" He said, "No." Paid him $75 for the two pictures. And I said, "Do you know what's wrong with me?" He said, "No, but I got a prescription here to make you feel real good." So I declined the prescription. I said, "Well, doc, I don't need a prescription for painkiller. What I need is a solution to my hurt foot." So I went on back home and spent $75 to get two x-rays taken. And my wife said, "Well, it's what I told you. You got gout, dummy. Gout, gout, gout. Got that, dummy?" I said, "Okay, well, okay." So I quit eating meat, and about a week later it quit, and I never had it since. So if you want to demonstrate this, go pig out on meat until you get gout. And then quit eating meat, and the gout will go away. Okay, and then you too can demonstrate that. Now, I suppose that if you've got gout, we could also do this with caffeine. I've never tested that. I can't testify to it, but why don't you? You know, just start sucking in caffeine until you get gout. Wire up, and if it develops gout, then quit the caffeine and see if it goes away. Now, the caffeine connection is demonstrated by a recent case in which the patient, a 48-year-old man, was doing all the right things to reduce his uric acid levels. He stopped drinking all alcoholic beverages, adopted a vegetarian diet, avoided sugar, and maintained ideal body weight. According to current medical knowledge, that was everything he could do. If he continued to experience gout pain, he would have to take drugs to lower his uric acid levels. Now, I imagine that if this nutritionist here says he'd have to take drugs to lower the uric acid levels, there must be a drug that'll do that. Now, I suppose if you're a big fat lawyer and you got gout, that you could just keep on eating all that fat and all that pig and all that protein and just take this drug to alleviate the symptoms. I guess that's what you could do. Now, I'm a little different from the breed of cat, and so what I think that we ought to do is eliminate the cause. If gout is being caused by excessive protein intake, then let's cut back on the protein. Let's not become vegetarians. Notice here that this guy becomes a vegetarian. Well, gosh, I guess if you can't control your meat intake, I've never been addicted to meat to that level. I got addicted to alcohol and credit cards and nicotine. I mean, I couldn't handle those, but, you know, if you can handle, now the alcohol is not such a big problem to me. I can take a drink or leave it, but that nicotine, boy, that sucked me right in. And those credit cards, oh, God, those credit cards, that's another story. And I reported on that one to you. I have to steer away from them credit cards and nicotine. But the meat hasn't been a problem to me. I've been able to handle the meat intake all right. Now, at his wife's prompting, he stopped drinking coffee, and in a matter of weeks, his pain was completely gone. And that's because one of the breakdown products of caffeine is called methuric acid, and it can add to the body's uric acid burden. In fact, allopurinol, the drug that is used to treat gout, works by inhibiting the enzyme that converts methylxanthine, a coffee metabolite, to methyl uric acid. Now, besides an inherited tendency to accumulate uric acid, liver disease significantly increases the likelihood that caffeine will contribute to gout. So if you remember that the liver is responsible for the entire chain of breakdown steps in the detoxification of caffeine, this is not surprising. What is surprising is that the elimination of caffeine is not a standard recommendation for individuals with gout. Okay. So when you go to your doctor and he says, "Well, you've got gout," he's never going to say to you, "Stop drinking coffee." He's going to say, "Take this prescription." That's what the doc did for me. He said, "Here, take this prescription." Now, the hillbilly doctor I went to, he didn't know that I had gout. He was unable to diagnose gout. He didn't know what the hell was. And now my wife, you know, she's real smart. She went to school, and she learned to read, And she can write pretty good, and she can count real good. My wife can count so good, I let her go to the grocery store all by herself, and she comes back with the right change every time. And that's pretty good, considering she's just a girl. Now, I wanted to point out to you over here, my wife has once said, "Hey, dummy, you got gout." Well, it just says to me, she's a little smarter than this hillbilly doctor in Gainesville. He couldn't figure it out. And he's got a degree after his name. Hell, he'd been to college. He'd been to medical school. Shucks, he's got a clinic in here. And he takes x-rays and charges $75 and couldn't tell me I had gout. Gave me a painkiller, though. All right, so there's that story. Gout, my aching feet, issues of male reproductive health, eyes. Shucks, we've covered a bunch here, kids. You ever heard of a thing called fibromyalgia? No, I never heard of it either. Hell, I couldn't spell it. But fibromyalgia is a chronic syndrome of pain that can range and change from tolerable to incapacitating. Now, I want to tell you that gout now is a pain. Now, I'm telling you, that hurts real bad. So if you haven't had it, you know, you need to try it once. Kind of like jail. I was telling my students, you know, if you've never been to jail, you need to go so you can spend a week in jail so you can get accustomed to what the police are going to do to you. They do that in the Army, you know. They take you to basic training, and they try to simulate the battlefield, you know, and what you're going to go through when you're on the battlefield, so you get battle hardened. And so that's what I recommend, you know, for first year law students. You know, so shucks, you know, you need to go to jail. I don't think they train lawyers by doing that. You know, if I was in the big leagues, you know, running a real law school like Harvard Law School or something, I'd send all my first year law students to jail for a week. Let them get used to how the thing works, you know, and why it works that way. I think it'd make better lawyers. I know it makes better students here at this law school. Let me tell you, it ain't nothing like a little dose of jail. Well, that's what experience is all about. Now, if you haven't had this kind of pain, you know, you need to have a little. Because once you get some pain, my old daddy told me, he said, "Son, there ain't nothing like experience to teach." He says, "Experience is the best teacher there is." He said, "It's a god-awful hard way to learn. And if you can't learn any other way, then experience is the way for you." Now, I've always been a wimp, and so I try to learn from other people's experience. I like to watch other people get hurt. And then I avoid that like AIDS, herpes, and VD. And so I want to watch what happens to you. I want to watch the guy drinks 12 cups of coffee a day and then watch what happens to him. And if he can do it and get away with it, well, then I'll give it a shot. And if he doesn't get away with it, well, then I want to avoid it like AIDS, herpes, and VD. Well, anyway, this fibromyalgia is a chronic syndrome of pain that can range and change from tolerable to incapacitating. Now, while the pain is arthritic pain, fibromyalgia is not a type of arthritis. The pain, rather than centering on the joints, is experienced more in your muscles, tendons, and ligaments, and it can shift unpredictably. For the moment, fibromyalgia remains a mysterious disorder, diagnosed from a symptom review of the existence of specific tender points on the body, where even mild pressure causes undue soreness. Now, current research suggests multiple causative factors, and there's a very significant caffeine stress connection. New research has shown conclusively that patients with fibromyalgia suffer from an adrenal weakness that includes insufficient cortisol secretion. The pituitary hormone signal that stimulates adrenal production of cortisol, known as ACTH, may be more than adequate. But the adrenal response is still weak. Exercise, a positive stress that in a healthy person stimulates a rise in cortisol, produces only a modest response in the fibromyalgia patient. In effect, the syndrome fits perfectly into the phase 2 model described above. Now, let me pause right here and point out that there's footnote number 206, 207, 208, and 209. So there have been a lot of studies done here. You know, doctors and medical schools and others, you know, they've studied this fibromyalgia. Now, oftentimes people will call here at the law school and they'll say, "Well, I heard your program, and you were talking about fibromyalgia." I'll get some calls on this. And so I want to help head off those phone calls. And then recommend to you that you go to page 212 of the book called Caffeine Blues and take a look at fibromyalgia, and then you can get these footnotes, and then you can flip over here to the footnotes, and then you can go to the library, or you can get on the horn or on the internet or something, and you can pull these reports out, these studies that have been done. 16,000 people with fibromyalgia were tested, and then they were worked, and some of them had placebos, and some of them did this, that, and another thing. And then the guy comes along and says, "Well, what we did here with this group over here, we took them off caffeine, and the fibromyalgia went away." So here again, you know, we're not a medical school here. We're not recommending any diagnosis, you know, or any cures. I certainly don't want to tick off any of you medical doctors out there or cause you a loss of revenue by suggesting that these people get off of caffeine rather than come to you to get a prescription so you can make some money, so you can make your boat payment this month. I'm not trying to do that, Doc. But when people call up, you know, they're in pain and they're suffering. Sometimes they're crying real hard, and that's real. You know, that's real pain. That's real suffering. And most of these people haven't got a clue as to what's causing this. And oftentimes it's something real simple. You know, people with asthma call up and they're crying the blues and they say, well, drink more water. And some guy calls up and he's got gout and they say, well, get off the protein. And I've spent a day in medical school and I'm just reading to you here from a paid professional that deals with these kinds of cases all the time. This is not rocket science. This isn't even Homeland Security classified material that you can't get. Hell, it's right out there in the public domain, but nobody's telling you about it because, you know, that's not where the money's being made. A guy with gout has pain. He goes to the doctor. Here's business. Here's money being transacted. Listening to some guy come on the air and say, oh, you got gout, get off the protein, get off the caffeine, and it'll go away in about a week. That interferes with trade, commerce, business, and industry. That costs the medical industry money. Hell, it costs the meat industry money. Nobody wants to hear that as a solution. Get off McDonald's? Nobody wants to hear that. McDonald's tastes real good. And on top of that, the guy at the McDonald's restaurant, you know, he's got a goal this year. He wants to make $3 million in his McDonald's restaurant so he can take his wife on a carnival cruise down to the Caribbean. And I'm coming along here, and I'm interfering with trade, commerce, business, and industry, and I apologize, and I don't want to do that. Now, the simple solution is to give fibromyalgia patients synthetic adrenal hormones. But as we've already noted, the adverse side effects of these steroid medications are far too dangerous over the long term. So we're left, therefore, wondering how to restore adrenal function naturally. And that topic is covered in Chapter 10. And as you might have guessed, Step 1 is to stop harming your adrenals with caffeine. So your adrenal glands are plugged up with caffeine, and they're not putting out the right hormones, and so you're getting fibromyalgia. That's how simple that is. Really no big mystery. And remember, you heard it right here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review in the review of Caffeine Blues by Stephen Charnisky, Warner Books. Get one at Barnes & Noble. Hey, we're running out of time again, so I'm going to have to remind you that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, just go to our homeschooling page on our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs and are an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, I'm out of time. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.